I recently did a teaching at Woman at the Well, and I listened to it. I never ever listen to stuff that much or read the millions of things that people send because I don't get to everything, but I did get to this one, and it really just spoke to my heart, and I knew it's a word in season, not only for me or for my home, but I believe our church, and even more and wider than that, I believe prophetically. And it's one that's been birthed very easily in her life. So we want to just respect and honor you for the easy ride in birthing the message. No, I'm joking. She's really dug on the Lord's heart and come close to Him yet again in the season. And the Lord has just birthed something beautiful in her. How good Isaiah 11, verse 3. And it speaks of the light of the fear of the Lord. And I can honestly say that this has been birthed through the delight of the fear of the Lord in her life, and I honor her for that. That's really beautiful. Pearls is beautiful. They don't come that easy, but yet it makes them priceless. Not only is she like that, but also what she brings is like that. And so I just want to honor and keep praying. Jesus, have your way. Thank you that you are truly a Lord, and thank you that you just bring a word. Thank you that it will echo in the hearts, and it will rhema into the hearts that it needs to rhema this morning, but even further than this. May it rhema in the spirit for those that need it, for your body, wherever it needs it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing this message through her this morning. We pray for her throat. We pray for her voice. We just pray for her just to enjoy it with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for receptive ears and hearts and for much fruit. Amen.
Thank you. So I just decided to give Ruth off on Father's Day so that you can say it. I'll do the heavy lifting this morning. I'm really sharing from a very raw and vulnerable place this morning. I'm still on my journey, and it is a process with God and the way He does things. He can do this and everything's fixed, but He wants us to learn things, and He wants us to journey with Him, and He wants to do the things for us. So I'm experiencing that God's grace is sufficient when I'm completely weak. So I'm sharing from a weak place this morning, but God's grace is sufficient and He's strong. So that's amazing. So when we came to the Lord initially, it was, oh, happy day. You know, that lovely day when we give our hearts to the Lord and we realize that I have nothing. I suck. My life is falling apart. I really need this Jesus. I need this God to come and save me. No one will come to God. There are people who come to God because of other reasons. Tish and I had such a laugh the other day. Because, you know, people come to God for different reasons. Some people have this guilt, they've done horrible things, and they want absolution, they want God to forgive them and set them free. Other people have pain and rejection, and they're alone, and they need this hero, this savior, to come and save them from the miry pit. And then you get people like Tish. She actually heard a teaching where the guy said, like, you don't want to be like a marshmallow Christian because then the lion is going to come and devour you. And she was just like, I'm not going to be a marshmallow Christian. I want to be A-level Christian. And God does that, so I'm on board. So we all have different reasons. And it's just so amazing because God knows what gets us. He knows us. So He pushes those buttons. And then you're like, yeah, pick me, please. Just fix all of this. And so we have these different things, and recently I've come to the realization again that just as much as God actually wants to do all of these things, He wants to forgive and heal and bless us with victory and promises fulfilled, He actually asks us our all. It's an all or nothing kind of thing. There's a cost to this. So initially, like I said, it was oh, happy day. And then Jesus says, but there's a cost. It is my all for your all. It's a transaction. And when we come to salvation, we don't care because this is rubbish. I'm just like, get rid of this. I want what you have. Okay? And somewhere along the line of Christianity, God heals, he forgives, he restores, promises fulfilled, and he starts adding. And you get the life that you were praying for, and you get the things and the promises. Things get kind of comfortable and cushy. And we're like, wow, this is amazing. So God took everything, and I got his everything. His everything is awesome, but it's mine. It's mine. It's my little sacred seed, my precious. Nothing must touch this. And the thing is that God is still asking us for that daily surrender. It's not like now you have to hold on to everything. That wasn't the deal in the beginning. It's a process of surrender. It's a daily thing. We are called as living sacrifices. And I think the idea or the concept of a living sacrifice is very apt if you think of a living sacrifice trying to crawl off the altar all the time. God's like, yay, get back there. Okay, no, get back on the altar. Yeah, play dead. But Luke 9, verse 23 says, there's a true cost of discipleship. And Jesus said, he said it in the beginning, and we were very keen. But when things get a bit better, it's like, no, I have this, God. Just you stay there. But Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me to be my true disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And the thing is, if we're holding so onto our little things, our seeds, I call it the sacred seed. If we're so holding onto our sacred seeds, we can't pick up our cross. And God is asking us to pick up our cross. And if we see this life that God has given us as a seed to be sown, the things that he's added as things to be sown into his kingdom, if we have that perspective, then the life of a disciple becomes easier. It becomes a joyous ride that we know that God is in control and he's got this. And we have this beautiful example of Jesus Christ being the seed. God doesn't ask us to do anything if he didn't do it first. And that's the amazing thing. So we're looking at Jesus and the life of Jesus. He was literally buried. So you can see it as a seed being planted to bring a harvest. We're looking at it from two angles. And then the other one is actually dying and being resurrected. And let's quickly look at this scripture in John 12, verse 23 to 26. And Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. Now listen here, he's talking about the cross. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. The cross doesn't feel like glory or exaltation. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Just one grain, never more. But if it dies, it produces much grain and yields a harvest. If it dies, it produces much grain and yields a harvest. The one who loves his life eventually loses it through death. But the one who hates his own life in this world and is concerned with pleasing God will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must continue to faithfully follow me without hesitation. And that without hesitation is that immediate yes. God asks something of you, you say yes. You don't have to understand. It doesn't have to feel good. Yes, Lord. We made him our Lord and Master, our Savior. So it's a yes, Lord thing. Holding steadfastly to him, conforming to his example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. And wherever I am in heaven's glory, there will my servant be also. If even anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So we see a picture of Jesus not living for himself. Jesus didn't live for himself. And that's why when God asked him to be obedient unto death, he could say yes. Because he wasn't living for himself. So he could die out of obedience. It's a hard thing. He didn't question the Father. And then it says here, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. It's a lowering, it's a humble place where we come, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to listen. I want to go low. Because when we go low, God is exalted. And when we go low, God wants to exalt us. We don't know what it looks like, but it says so. If we go low, God will lift us up. And that brings me to 1 Peter 5, where it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Who needs grace this morning? To make life. To make it through this week. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, I was thinking about this piece of scripture because it's like, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. And then it says, God cares for you. And it's like, there's something here, God. And I realized that God knows that we actually struggle to surrender. He knows, and where do we struggle to surrender the most? Everywhere. The things we like most. The sacred seats. The things that are so important to you. The things that God gave you. The things that he promised you. Are the things that matter most. Because they're here. They're deep. That's why I call it the sacred seed. And that's the things that God says, humble yourself under my mighty hand. I'm like an umbrella. You're safe there. And I will lift you up. And then he says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. He cares for your sacred seed more than you can ever know. He put it there. He gave it to you. He knows how important it is to you. But he's saying, let me stop trying to fix things. The place where things are starting to fall apart in your life is the area where you are trying to fix things yourself. You are so trying to make this work. Lord, this has to work. I'm holding on for dear life. This needs to work. And God is just saying, you can't do it. Humble yourself. I want to lift you up. I want to do this. I care. And that's a safe place. But that's a hard place. God knows it. That's why he says, I care for you. In this life, we're conditioned to fight. It's like survival instinct kicks in, and it's like, don't touch this. Think of a mom, if your kid gets bullied on the school ground, it's like, don't touch this. It's the same thing. But God cares more. And then it says here, from verse 8, be sober. So he doesn't say, he says, cast your care upon me, I care. It doesn't mean no, you have to be careless. It says, now be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the lion, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings that you're experiencing in your life right now was experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Who wants to feel settled? That's a nice, comfy place. It's only in God. After we have suffered a while. Because then to him be the glory and not because we're so amazing in our look. That's the safe place. We can't do it, people. The sooner we realize it, the better. He wants to come and do it. Jesus sowed his life as a seed. He had to trust that the Father was going to raise him up again. God didn't say, die and then you stand up after 3 days. The Father said, die, you will be raised from the dead. He had to trust that his Father was good. Bill Johnson says so beautifully, my job as a Christian is the crucifixion. Father's job is the resurrection or the reward. That just hit me so. It's like we try to make things, we try to like rev up some life here on the side. And then things fail and it's like, why did this happen? It's just like, face plow. But it's because God just asks us to go low and to die to ourselves. He wants to do the raising up, the reward, the resurrection. And we have to trust him that he will do it. So Jesus' job was to be the seed of redemption, to die so that the Father can raise him up. He's our ultimate example. We follow him. And it says in the scripture, if need be, to die. So that's a dying to self. So in embracing the cross, whatever it might be for us this morning, Ratif said I mustn't say Bill Johnson too much, but there are two things that I really felt this was his words, and that was my job is the crucifixion, his job is the resurrection, and then this. When we embrace the cross, we say no to what we would naturally do to give occasion to God to do what he wants to do in his time. When we embrace the cross, we say no to what we would naturally do in a situation to give opportunity for God to do what he wants to do in his time, and I suppose in his way. And God is saying, let me take this. Let me do this for you. I want to do this for you. I'm your dad. I'm your dad. Stop trying to figure things out on your own. And there's a grace in this letting go. There's a grace in the surrender. Because then our daddy comes to fight for us. And that's, like I said, it's a safe place. Then your sacred seed is safer than it ever was. So sowing our lives. I have said now the sacred things are the things that you sow, are so important to us that we want to protect it with everything in us. Think of your spouse. Think of your kids. Think of your ministry or the job that God has promised you and you have worked and sowed into and you're seeing life now. Those are all the things that God has added. Or healing even. That you're actually standing in faith for healing. And if you think of the story of Abram, talking to all the dads now, if you think of the story of Abram, God promised him the son. And it was only after him and Sarah were old and wrinkly and worrymeer, nothing worked anymore, then God gave the baby. Because then they couldn't say, hey, it was me. They knew it was God. And then God asks Abram, let's go and offer this beautiful sacred seed that I've given you. And Abram had been trained for obedience. He could have questioned God. Everything could have gone wrong here. The whole story of Abram. He could have gone like, we've got our son now, Lord. Thank you. See you on the other side. We're going this way. This doesn't work for us anymore. And the whole story of, you know, the Bible would have been completely different. But he trusted God even when he didn't understand. He had been trained for obedience. And then we come to Matthew 10, verse 39 to 38. 38 to 39, sorry people. And it says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It says in the message, if you don't go all the way with me, through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. And these, it feels like harsh words, but God knows what's best for us. That's why he's saying this. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. So God is not evil. He doesn't just like want everything for himself. He's looking out for us. And he's saying, listen, if you try to make things work on your own, if you try to hang on to the things that are so important to you, you're going to make a mess of it. You're going to lose it all. But if you let me, then you'll find me and all the things that you actually want, need in God. So you'll find both yourself and me, and that's the truth that God wants to give us. And the Passion Translation says, whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own. That's ouch. Or he cannot be considered to be my disciple. All who seek to live apart from me will lose it all. Again, we can't do it on our own. But those who let go of their lives for my sake and surrender it all to me will discover true life. And that's the freedom. If we can get to a place where we go like, Lord, in the beginning I said, you're all for my all. I have nothing. That song, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Lord, come and make your life in me, your wine. So even Jesus asked when he was on the cross, or before he went to the cross, Lord, can this cup pass from me? Even Jesus asked. It's not fun to die. But obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. So the awesome thing is in the kingdom, when we are dying to self, when we're being buried, it's a planting. It's a sowing of sorts. And it will bring forth life because that's just how God works. But again, that's not our prerogative. Our job is to die. God will do this part. And in the beginning of the year, Ratif said we must be much more careful what we hear. In the beginning of the year, the word was resurrection year. And it was like, woohoo, resurrection life. Yay, it's going to be awesome. But who knows that you have to die to be resurrected? Something needs to die before it can be resurrected. And that part he didn't tell us. So if you think, so this was a tough year for me, man. I think it was the toughest year of my life. And I'm still working through it. And there's nothing that I can really tell you guys except that it felt to me like everything was just falling apart. I mean, after every baby, I get postnatal depression. And you can just, it's like you're trying to hold sand and it just keeps on falling through your fingers. And it's like, this is a mess. You know, the wife that you want to be, you're not that. The mother that you want to be, you're not that. Never mind anything else. So it was a slow death for me. Very hard. But I just want to paint the picture of Jesus' crucifixion. You must imagine now the disciples, they were walking with Jesus for 3 years, and they were the main oak. They're like, he does miracles, he's so awesome, he's going to save the world, he's amazing. And then people take him off, and they flog him, and they crucify him, and there he hangs, and he's dead. And they're like, whoa, I bet everything on this now, everything. I can't even go home. They'll probably crucify me as well. Like, this is bad. This is really bad. Like, the shock that they must have felt. Like, everything that they expected and thought is now, like, gone. It's a mess. It's a big mess. And I think they really freaked out. Like, the shock. You can just imagine. And I think with us, in our lives, in certain situations, we expected something. It's like God did something and we had this idea or this picture of how it was going to work out. And then something happens and it's like, I didn't expect this. This is bad. This is really bad. And it's in that place where God wants to come and bring new life. It's in that place. So in that area where you might have felt like things were dying, let me tell you, dying to yourself really feels like dying. Being purified in fire really feels like burning. Being pressed like an olive or a grape really feels like crushing. It's tough. And some people, you might be in a season where you're not experiencing that. Then it's just something you can bank. Then enjoy. But you can't fake this. You can't fake when something is dying or you feel that. You can't fake it. But you know what? In this season, because I was like, between the cross and the resurrection, there was a grave. And I was like, Lord, I'm just in the grave now. I'm just dead. There's nothing. And God was like, what did Jesus do the 3 days when he was in the grave? I'm like, he went to hell. Yeah, I'm in hell. And then he's like, okay, but what did he do in hell? And I realized when Jesus went down, it wasn't his permanent state. It wasn't his identity. It wasn't his destination. He was passing through, and he knew it. What did he take? The keys, the authority. And I was like, wow, there's purpose to this. It's awesome. The resurrection is fun. It's life. It's lekker. But there needs to be a purpose to our pain. And there needs to be purpose to our suffering. And there needs to be purpose to our dying. That we can take the keys. And we're saying, not again. We've got the keys now. We've got the authority. Because when we are dying to self, Jesus' identity and his authority needs to be birthed in us. If that's not happening, then we're not doing it the right way. Because we can go and sit and suck in us, like in Afrikaans you say, and you can either be formed in the image of Christ or in another image. We're not even going to talk about that. You can go bitter and angry and cynical, or you can take the keys. In this area where you felt death, and bad things happen, you can go, we have the authority here now. I've got the war stripes. I've got the sword with the marks on. I've fought this battle. Because the awesome thing is God will resurrect the impossible. He does bring beauty and life from ashes. He does bring oil, precious oil or wine from the crushing. And he brings a harvest from a seed that had to die in the ground. And that's the hope we have in Christ. As long as we do our part, as long as we go low. And just in this time, Stephen actually sent me a word where he said, Jesus is your great reward. And it is so true, because when you're at that place where you felt like, oh, nothing is working, it's like, Jesus is my great reward. He's amazing. And just to return to that first love again, I think that's the place where things get so hard and you mess up so much. Then you realize again, oh, happy day. Jesus is my reward. He's the only one. He's amazing. And we have to realize that he will do things in his time, in his way. And are we okay if he is our reward? The other word this year was, Jesus is enough. How do you get to that realization? Yeah, everything else fails. Yeah, so it really felt like everything was failing. And then we have this scripture. This is just so awesome. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this treasure, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's what we need to realize. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That's the promise we have. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. And that word unfolding grace, it's a process. Day by day, as we lay down our lives, as we're experiencing this letting go, there's an unfolding of his grace. His infinite grace. And these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. because there's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. And God is birthing that eternal seed in our hearts. I think it was end of last year, George gave a prophetic word for the church. And again, everything sounds so lekker. And he's like, the church is moving into a place where the things that we've been doing in the flesh, we won't be able to do anymore. We'll have to do it in the spirit. And it was like, yeah, that makes sense, you know? Yes. And then the things that you've been doing in the flesh suddenly don't start working anymore. And it's like, what's going on? Ah! And God's like, you're not in the spirit. Oh, okay. So God is calling us back into the spirit. The area in your life where things are falling apart, God is calling you back into the spirit. He wants to do it. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of Resurrection. And how do we get the Spirit of Resurrection, the Holy Spirit? We lay down our lives. We deny ourselves, our ways, our thoughts, to have His way, His power, His glory manifested in and through us. And then we get to a place where we are alive and well in Christ, in Him, because we're alive and trusting. And this is my favorite verse. There have been many seasons in my life where I get stuck. I call it getting stuck, because you've been doing things in the flesh. Suddenly it doesn't work anymore and you're stuck. You can't maneuver. I can't fake this anymore. This isn't working. And the only thing that has actually gotten me to a place where, there's breakthrough. His life is this verse. It's a killer. It's amazing. I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in Him I have shared His crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up. So Jesus gave His all for us, so we can give our all. And the only way to live this life of resurrection is if we trust God enough to die. If we trust God enough to sow that seed and leave it there. Trust that He will bring a harvest, that He will bring life from it. That we can know that we are sown for a harvest that is so much bigger than just us and our. It will multiply. It will yield. It will bring life wherever we go. Your story will bring life. We just need to stop kicking. It's like a tide taking you in. You can kick here and stay there forever and possibly drown. Or you can just lay down and let the tide take you out again. Trust in God. His way, His time. Because there is a resurrection. There is hope. There is a harvest. There is a life, a dream, a gift found in Him. And there are the keys that we'll be getting after the season. The authority. So there is hope. So don't be disheartened. I just want to encourage those of you who have actually been in this season and you've experienced this dying. Don't be discouraged, because the resurrection is on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. Even though it feels very dark and you feel it here, there is life. Remember, you're passing through. You're passing through. Know whose you are and know who you are. I'm going to play one song. I'm going to play a song for us. I'm just going to take us into ministry time. But the Lord showed me three areas where people might need prayer this morning, or you just want to come and dedicate again these things to God. So in ministry time, when we're playing the song, you can either just sit there and let God minister to you and pray to Him, or you're more than welcome to come to the front and have one of the leaders pray for you. The first area is, if you can think, as you're sitting there, think, what is your sacred seed? What are the things that God gave you, He has promised you, and He's asking you to just give it back to Him this morning? Usually you'll know that's the thing that you'll fight tooth and nail to protect. Commit that to Him because He cares. And then the second group, you have experienced a dying and you are struggling to pull through and pass through the valley because your fighting instinct has kicked in. It's like you can't help it, but it's like, I don't want to die. No, I don't want to let go of this thing. But the more you're doing that, the more things are just falling apart and the more things are just being messed up. If that's you this morning, I really want to encourage you to come to the front that we can pray for you. God wants to pull you through. Come and surrender it all to Him this morning. He wants to fight for you. He wants to do it for you. And then the third group, you are actually experiencing the resurrection or the reward at the moment. It's going well. And my challenge to you this morning is to bring that to Him this morning and ask Him to keep your heart and your eyes fixed on Him because He's the one who did it. Because so easily we can come to that place again and say, that we can stay in a place of surrender all the time so that we will know the excellence of the power is of God and not of us. So Dominique is going to play the song for us. And just there we are, spend time with God. Do you have it all in there? Yeah, thank you. And then I have some, not that it's the oil, but it's resurrection oil. So if you want to become anointed, if you want to come and be anointed with us, you know. So Father God, thank you that there we are right now. We can bring these three things before you, Lord. Thank you that you sift our heart, Lord. Thank you that you know our hearts. You know the dying, you know the struggles, Lord. And we just thank you for your presence and your love to come on every heart now in Jesus' name. We give you our all again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can have it all. Every part of my world, take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. All the joy I found surrendering my crowns at the feet of surrendered everything.
Just as the music is still in the background, you can just keep it like that. Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's just so beautiful how the Holy Spirit ministers to us. And just those three things. What is that sacred seed, if the Lord is speaking to you about that? If you've been experiencing that dying, the Lord will help you through that, and that you can let go and trust Him. And the third thing is, yeah, that we can trust it will become a reward and a resurrection. And all those three things, or anything else that the Lord has laid on your heart, I want to encourage you that come and share it with somebody here in front. The cell leaders, you guys can just be close. And if you just want to share something or pray with, or trust the Lord for a word. I just got a very clear vision just in sowing my sacred seeds. God just gave me a very clear vision of what He's going to do and what He's about to do in my life. And so trust Him for that. Don't just spit off. You want to give? Is there anybody that would like to come forward and just spend a moment in prayer with somebody else? It's going to give a minute or six that we can do this. Take the moment. Let's just stay here. Wait a bit. The Lord does business with our hearts through His Spirit. I said to my spirit, the Lord wants to prophetically birth visions of the resurrections for some of us. So just as we stand in the Spirit, you want that word for you. You've sowed a sacred seed. You've died in a certain area that you didn't expect to die or asked of to die. And you don't have a clear vision yet. You don't have a hope yet of the resurrection. I want you to raise your hands. I believe prophetically the Lord's going to give that. Raise your hand and keep it up. Raise your hand and keep it up. I want you all to come forward. If you raise your hand, just come forward. Come and stand here. It need not come through the voice of somebody else, but we're putting out our faith. If you're stuck in the 3 days, you're not going to get stuck there anymore. And we're going to pray with you. Just stand here. If somebody's going to come pray with you, we're just going to ask the Lord to release the word. We're not going to conjure up anything. The Lord to release the word and bring a prophecy and bring a vision of what the resurrection will look like in that area, that you've got a hope to hang on to. So we're just going to pray with you now and anoint you and trust that it comes in Jesus' name. For the rest of you guys, just chill with the Lord. We'll finish up shortly. Going to close for us in prayer. Those that are still praying, please, by all means, take us. It's holiday. You've got 3 weeks. For the rest of us, Father God, thank you for your grace this morning. I just sense how you reign through your Spirit over our hearts. Thank you what you started here this morning in some lives you will complete. For you're the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the author and the finisher of our dying, but also our resurrection and having a hope in a dark world. So thank you for hope in every heart here this morning. May we share with others what you've given us. May you multiply the resurrection life through us in Jesus' name. Bless this week. Bless those that are away on holiday or long weekend. And thank you for your gracious hand over us as your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, please grab coffee. Dads, please grab whatever is on that table. And please give a fat hug to the Fick family and love on them before they leave. God bless and enjoy the week.